Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have a really exciting guest, and I think that you guys are going to find this interview quite inspiring. You know, he was quite a competitive athlete, you know, in this case, a skier. And then, you know, he's gone from that into becoming an entrepreneur. So again, very exciting conversation, incredible story. We're going to be learning about building, scaling, financing, you name it. And I think that you'll love this episode. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Dominic Sen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So originally, Dominic, you were from Switzerland. So give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up for you?
I'm originally from Switzerland. And I was born 1967 in Zurich and became a professional skier at a very young age, around 17 years old, 16 years old. And made all my steps through the skiing career and founded 1995 a management company to manage myself, actually. And after my career in 2001, it became a global sports marketing agency.
What do you think that, before you actually got going with that, you know, the competitive spirit, you know, that you really had and that you were driving, you know, when you were a professional skier, what do you think that you've carried from that when it comes to the world of business?
I think I'm very competitive. First of all, I like to win. And I'm also willing to put the hard work in. And I think I'm very disciplined as well. That's four attributes, I think, that helped me to become a competitor. So when I saw as a skier that the sports world was very young, that the first people who tried to make our skis or were waxing our skis became like sports agents successfully, so I thought myself, I can do that even better. So I think it was very competitive, and I brought enough patience and will and willingness and also determination in to really become an entrepreneur.
And in your case, no university, no studies, no nothing. You just went right at it. You know, when it came to business, and you went at it because you saw a need, something that you were essentially seeing with you and with your peers, which was essentially lack of representation.
Yeah, I mean, I did the high school, a very high-end high school, and I was one of the best in the high school, I can say. So school was always easy for me. And I studied public relations and advertising on the side of skiing. But other than this, yes, everything is handmade. Everything is learning by doing, and that's true.
So then you were building the firm of representing other athletes for many years, I guess. What was that journey of building and scaling, you know, that business and then also going from skiing to hockey and to other sports as well?
Yeah, it was very organically. I think it was never my goal at the very beginning to have a global sports management agency. Of course, I was dreaming to become one of the most influential sport agents, but it came very naturally to me and organically. So from skiing, we went to hockey, which is another winter sport and very popular in Switzerland. And I started representing also other skiers, of course, at the very beginning. Then I started working for IMG, the American company, and because they had problems at that time in the German-speaking market. So I started representing them in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. But I did not agree that they could purchase my little company, because I had not any assets in my company which I could sell for a lot of money. So I told them they have to agree on an entrepreneurial split. So I told them, you don't have to pay me a salary, but whatever we make, we split. So they thought at the very beginning that's a smart deal for them, but I became the most successful agent in Europe. So I did tennis tournaments, Roger Federer brought into the company. I managed a lot of assets, purchased the hockey rights in Switzerland for over 70 million. So, and we became really a successful partnership at the end. And then I split again and went on my own.
So then you split again, you go on your own. And then eventually, What does a skier do in Florida? How do you land in Florida?
Yeah, I was very passionate with golf at a very young age. At the early 20s, I started playing golf. And I thought, okay, I have to go in that golf business because my dream was like to play a part in the golf business because I like that sport so much. And I started 2006, a golf division, moved my golf division to London, and then from London, finally to Jupiter in 2013, because we figured out that all our top players from Europe, they're going to play on the PGA Tour. They went to play there because that's where the money is. And I started looking around for homes, renting a home for me, because I was at that time traveling back and forth a lot between Switzerland and Florida. And also in 2013, I came over with my family to implement my office here in Florida. And we could not find a modern home. We thought all that the clubhouses are very dated. And also my young players, they told me the golf courses, they are suck normally. They all look the same. We like the weather and the tax situation in Florida, but not so much the golf. And I also thought they're all flat, they're surrounded by houses. So I started creating a dream to build the first modern gated golf community, or I call it the Golf and the Lifestyle Club, and try to integrate the best elements from Europe with the best elements from the US.
So then let's talk about that. Panther International, you know, is what eventually you came up with, you know, which was, as you were alluding to, no, with seeing everything outdated in Florida, even though like a lot of money, a lot of wealth, quite outdated, no? I guess for the people that are listening, what ended up becoming Panther International? What's the business model and how do you guys make money?
Your very first, like also when I started my agency, it was actually a natural reason. So when I started my agency, I wanted to represent myself better. And then when I came to Florida, I wanted to build something for me and my family, which suits to my interest, which suits very well to my lifestyle. So that was the really original reason. And then, of course, I figured out quite quickly that if you want to build one of the best golf courses in the world, it needs a lot of money. And that, how can you finance it? So I came up with a plan to build a residential community, but just a gated community like they have a lot in Florida, but with completely different lifestyle around and also different architecture for the homes and for the golf course. So I started creating a business plan, and that was before Corona. Everybody in my agency, actually, especially from the golf division, they tried to convince me not doing it, because at that time golf was decreasing, and a lot of people burned money with golf courses, and they said, don't do it, don't invest your money, you have never done this, and you're not a developer, like stay to what you are good managing athletes. And that's a little bit my personality. People try to convince me more and more because that something is done the last 100 years always the same way, that convinced me actually to start thinking outside the box and also try. And then Corona hit us. The first couple of weeks, we really didn't know what that means to us. Is that now the end of the project because we already purchased the land? Or is that even a chance? And soon we figured out that this is actually the biggest chance for us because golf started increasing again because people found out that they want to spend more time in the outside. Florida became even more popular, not only because of the tax, because also people found out they can work from home remotely and they want to spend their time in the outdoors. And all this together created actually an environment which was very helpful for us with Panther National, and the project became really a big support also financially. At the beginning, there was only European money in, friends of mine and my money, and then we had two big investors from Germany who believed in me at the very beginning, and then we also could find lenders in America. Actually, then it was quite easy. We had a lot of financial groups that stood in line and made us an offer.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com, and we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So let's talk about then the capital raise in this case. So you guys have raised about $300 million, and that's a combination of the equity and the debt. So how has it been to the experience of raising the money, and what's the difference here between raising the equity and raising the debt for Panther International?
Yeah, you know, I was not in the, and I'm not still not in the business of raising money. So I have a friend, a very close friend of mine, Michael Lauper. He is my business partner in this venture, and he was also business partner in my other companies. And he actually, comes from the financial world. He understands the financial world, and he created the concept. I really have to give all credits to him. But I think I was selling the dream, and he made the concept behind it. That's how we went on a roadshow, and we had some specialists in Miami who helped us to find the loans, like, because our project is also leveraged, but the equity we found in Europe, and there were people that knew me before and they trusted me. I could not find one single dollar equity at the very beginning because everybody was saying, okay, this is something completely new. And people were telling me, you have never done it, you're not a developer. And so they were very skeptical. They rather go with someone who, or with a company who has done that for 50 years.
So obviously, you know, like when the investors, you know, are investing in a business, they invest in a vision as well. And in this case, you know, I want to ask you, if you were to go to sleep tonight and you were to wake up in a world where the vision of Panther International is fully realized, what does that world look like?
You're right about investors, but at the end, it comes down to cents and dollars. That's all right. They like to say that vision and people, but at the end, it's all about the money game. But yeah, a world looks like, in my opinion, it looks like really that we are a lifestyle club there. You can come in through the gates. As soon as you are allowed to go through the gates, either as a member or as a friend or a guest of a member, I think a beautiful lifestyle world opens. So you can come here and go to the gym. We have different gyms available. There you can work out. After the gym, you shower and you go maybe to a Zoom room. We have different Zoom lounges where you can do your business calls. You can work. You can have a talk with your clients or with your business, then after this, you go for a smoothie in the cafeteria, read some newspapers on your iPad, and maybe then you go back for business call. You're heading out for a couple of holes for golf, play golf, coming back, eat something in the restaurant, and then maybe in the evening, you go for a tennis match or for a pickleball or paddle match or for a swim with your family, come back, order some food from a three Michelin inspired fine dining restaurant for your home, and have just a great lifestyle in a very healthy and wealthy environment. But if you then in the evening think, I have to celebrate something, you go to our wine lounges. We have a wine tower inspired by the Matterhorn Mountains from Switzerland, and you sit in one of the lounges there with your wife or your friends and have a great glass of wine served by our sommelier.
That sounds absolutely spectacular. So, Dominic, I want to talk about the past because we're talking about the future. I want to talk about the past, but doing so with a lens of reflection. If I was to put you into a time machine and I bring you back in time, let's say I bring you back in time to that moment where you were a skier, you know, still, you know, competing professionally. And at that moment where you were starting to realize that there had to be a better way to do things and a way in which you would venture into the unknown, where you would be able to also control your own destiny. If you were to be in front of that younger Dominic and be able to give that younger Dominic one piece of advice before launching a business, what would that be and why, given what you know now?
That's a very good question, because I was always a dreamer. I call myself a professional dreamer because I think I know how to put dreams in reality, because I think I dream my dream so hard and so many times that I program myself, my body, my brain, everything is programmed to achieve that goal. So it's almost an automatic ride from A to Z where I go. And on the way, I think what I would do better is probably, I will probably invest more money in professional advice in some areas where would be new for me. Make sure that I really hire the best people. I think sometimes because of a lack of have enough money available for a new project, I mean, maybe have chosen a way where we save some money and try to go with maybe a cheaper solution that costed me money at the end. I would say that's probably where the most mistake happened. Other than that, I think, as long as you can dream, you should start doing it, because if you know too much about it at the very beginning, you see too many hurdles to overcome and you don't start then the business. So in some way, I started a lot of my business quite naive, thinking I can do that easily. Even if I was not a professional in this area or not experienced or knowledge enough. But at the end, I was a quick learner and I was able to think about myself all the time and readjust quickly. But I think if you know everything at the very beginning, you probably would not have started it.
And talking about lessons learned here, Dominic, you have 120 employees. What have you learned to about team building and then also building a really great, solid culture underneath it to really drive that level of growth on the human capital?
Yeah, I'm well known for a style of managing people that I give them a lot of freedom. They actually, if I choose someone and I trust him, they actually have quite a lot of space to do it the way they think they should do it. I give them goals, I control the goals, and we have regular meetings, but I'm not a guy who is too much controlling them all the time. But if I think the trust is not there, I'm a black and white guy. I think either trust this employee, or especially key people, the leaders, or not. If I don't trust anymore someone, then I'm actually like to do a hard cut. But I'm a guy who tries to motivate people a lot. I see myself like a locomotive, like a train, goes ahead and motivates them and gives them the instrument and the belief or that we can achieve the goals.
And in this case too, I mean, you're from Switzerland. Right now you're in Florida. You're building a business in the US. I guess there's a lot of people that are outside of the US that are listening to us. There's probably a lot of people in Europe and maybe, you know, a bunch of people in Switzerland too. How has it been different to when it comes to the dynamics of the world of business and also building a company? How have you seen it differently from perhaps doing business or building companies in Europe?
The culture, the difference is big. I have to say, I'm very thankful for the opportunity I have here in North America, especially in America, because I think the people in America are much more open to people with new ideas, thinking outside the box, and entrepreneurs. As long as you have the money and you have the willingness and the power to do so, they don't judge you what you have, what kind of background you have, where you come from, what family you come from, what kind of education you have. They just want to see that you are going to succeed, and they look more at you as your success story and then what kind of education you have or where you come from. I would say if Switzerland had the ability or the if Switzerland had enough land that they could do such a big project in Switzerland, I would not have the chance to do it. There were too many people thinking skeptical about everything. They always see an Indian behind every stone hiding. And I think in America, they are much more open. So I think that's the great quality still of this country. A lot of people think the American dream is not existing anymore. I think what had the way they welcomed me and the way I had the chance and the opportunity to build that was unbelievable. And it has something to do with this mentality of a lot of immigration people who all come to this place to actually fulfill their own dreams. And I think that helped me a lot. There are other things in Switzerland, they're great. And they're not so great here. But in terms of entrepreneurship and creating a company or fulfill a dream in reality or bring a dream in reality, America or the United States is a great territory.
So for those people that are listening, that would love to hear about Panther National, also to get in touch with you as well to say hello, what is the best way for them to do so?
The best way is that they visit the website, and on the website there is an email address, and they can always reach me through the email address, and I'm very open to connect with people.
Amazing. Well, Dominic, thank you so much. It has been an absolute honor to have you in the Dealmaker Show today.
Thank you for having me, and I wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.